जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जना यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन रंजन जमुना तीरवन चारी जमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन हरी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन रंजन जमुना तीरवन चारी जमुना तीरवन चारी हरी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परवीरकाचार्य अस्तोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवताम की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा नमः. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening, text number 48.
Savai Maha Bhagavato Mahatma. महानुभावो महतम महिष्ठा प्रवृद्ध भक्त्यनुभाविताश्ये निवेश्य वैकुंठम इमं विहास्यति.
Please chant.
Yeah.
Mahishtha. Nivesha Vaikuntham Imam Vihasyati. Savai Mahabhagavato Mahatma. Pravriddha Bhaktya Anubhavitashaye. Niveshya Vaikuntham Imam Vihasyati. Savai Mahabhagavato Mahatma. Mahanubhavo Mahatam Mahishta. Pravriddha Bhaktya Yanubhavitashaye. Niveshya Vaikuntham Imam Vihasyati. Anyone else? Savai Mahabhagavato Mahatma. Mahanubhavo Mahatam Mahishta. Pravidya Bhaktya Hyanubhavitashaye. Niveshya Vaikuntham Imam Vihasyati. Thank you. Word to word. Saha. He. Vai. Certainly. Mahabhagavataha. The topmost devotee. Mahatma. Expanded intelligence. Mahanubhavaha. Expanded influence. Mahatam. Of the great souls. Mahishtha, the greatest. Pravriddha, well matured. Bhaktiya, by devotional service. He, certainly. Anubhavita, being situated in the Anubhav stage of ecstasy. Ashaye, in the mind. Niveshya, entering. Vaikuntham, in the spiritual sky. Imam, this material world. Vihasyati, will quit. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. That topmost devotee of the Lord will have expanded intelligence and expanded influence and will be the greatest of the great souls. Due to mature devotional service, he will certainly be situated in the transcendental ecstasy and will enter the spiritual sky after quitting this material world. Purport. There are three stages of transcendental development in devotional service, which are technically called Sthayi Bhav, Anubhav, and Mahabhav. Continual perfect love of Godhead is called Sthayi Bhav, and when it is performed in a particular type of transcendental relationship, it is called Anubhav. But the stage of Mahabhav is visible amongst the personal pleasure potencies of the Lord. It is understood that the grandson of Diti, namely Prahlad Maharaj, would constantly meditate on the Lord and reiterate his activities. Because he would constantly remain in meditation, he would easily transfer himself to the spiritual world after quitting his material body. Such meditation is still more conveniently performed by chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord. This is especially recommended in this age of Kali.
Nama Om Shri Padaya Kishabha Shaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. वांछा कल्पा तरुभ्यश्चा कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। So when you see these terms in that Prabhupada uses, sthai bhava, anubhava, mahabhava, sometimes the tendency, there may be a tendency to think that these are such high topics, and I'm on such a stage that I don't, maybe they're not important for me, maybe I don't need to know them right now. But if you think about what Srila Prabhupada gave to us, he gave us nectar of devotion. Now, just like he wrote Krishna book, he felt like he won't be able to complete the Bhagavatam, so he wanted us to make sure that we get Krishna, the pastimes, the 10th canto. So he wrote a summary study. In the summary form, he wrote the Krishna book. Similarly, there's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that he gave to us, but he was also concerned that he won't be able to translate that. And so he gave us a summary study of Nectar of Devotion. So there are four books, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, CC, and Nectar of Devotion. So for the fact that he did go ahead and write Nectar of Devotion, that means it's an important book for us. And the first section, we tend to be more familiar with the first section. There are four sections in the Nectar of Devotion. And so the first section would describe sadhana bhakti, which we are practicing, and there is Raganuga Bhakti and Prema Bhakti. But the rest of the three sections are about rasa. It's about, Prabhupada translates mellow. He actually says, I translate it as mellow because there's not really any word for rasa in English. He says, but my spiritual master has translated as mellow, so I will use the same word, mellow. So, but the three sections of the Nectar Devotion is about rasa, mellow, and which has terminologies like we're seeing this morning in the purport. Now this, I was thinking about like how Prabhupada wrote, you know, he says varnashram, you know, and you can use the terminology as, you know, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, and like that, the brahmanas. But then he says these are natural, it's not like something in India, these are natural. You have the intellectual community, you have the mercantile community, and like that. So similarly, these rasas that are mentioned, or this section, the three sections that are in Nectar of Devotion, these are something very common in one sense. There was this person called Bharat Muni, who has written the Natya Shastra, which is the drama. You know, probably you know about all this, Prabhu. And what Rupa Goswami has done basically is that the Natya Shastra that was written by Bharat Muni, he has just, so to speak, translated into the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. But initially they are actually from there. These rasas are all coming from the spiritual world, which then came to, whatever happens in the material world is just a reflection of what the spiritual world is. So if we understand that actually this is not some strange terminology, if we understand the principle, the background, the understanding of all those, what's actually happening, then it's not that difficult. But certainly it's difficult in the sense for us to realize it. We can actually at least theoretically understand these things, and to realize is something on a different platform, but at least we can understand the terms. So basically, sthai bhava is Prabhupada writes continual something, what does he say here? Sthai bhava. Technically called a continual perfect love of Godhead. Basically, we have five rasas, or five ratis, or however you want to call neutral, dasya, that is servitor, and parental, and madhurya, and all that. So we are familiar with those terminologies. So these, this rasa has four components, which is vibhava, anubhava, vyabhichari bhava, and sattvika bhava. What it means in simple terms, in just in very simple terms, what it means is that if you have a relationship with somebody, let's say friends, we have a friendly relationships. Out of the five relationships, we have the friendly relationship. So if you're friends with somebody, then there are elements that will make the friendship go really good, or stir up some feelings towards each other. There are different activities we may do. So in a friendly relationship, let's say that's the sthayi bhava, anubhava would be maybe we sing and dance together here with our friend. We feel comfortable to hold someone's hand like I did today with Yovananda. You hold your hands and you dance. You know, that's called anubhava. You're in a situation, you put yourself in a position where you can relate with each other, or we may cook for our friend and invite them over. That's anubhava, some activity that we do to bring on that rasa. And then there is vyabhachari bhava. Vyabhachari bhava is something not usual. The thing that comes to my mind is always comes to my mind when I think about vyabhachari bhava is in the Abhaya series that Bhakti Chura Maharaj did. There's a scene where Srila Prabhupada's, at that time, Abhaya's mother was in so much anxiety because Abhaya was outside the house and there were riots going on. And she was so afraid and she didn't know what was happening to her son, you know. And finally, her son, Abhaya, comes in the house and she shuts the door and she gives him a good slap on his face. Now, I think my speculation is that is a vyabhachari bhav where she's giving a slap on his face. She's giving him a slap on his face. She's a mother. She would put it, not, generally speaking, she would put him on her lap and like that, but she gave him a slap on his face. So that is a different, this is a vyabhachari bhav, something contrary. But this brings rasa. It brings such a taste. Can you imagine what Abhaya felt? He knew it was rasa. His mother is feeling affectionate towards him, but it was contrary. And then sattvika bhava is something that is not in our control. We hear something and our hair raise, what do you call? We get goosebumps or whatever, we faint. You know, it's not something in our control. So that's sattvika bhava. So this is all about to bring rasa, juice, mellow, taste, whatever you may want to call it, in a relationship. So let's hear. So as I mentioned, there are five sthayi bhavas. I mean, five bhavas, yeah, sthayi bhavas or whatever. Five rasas. So let's hear something what Krishna Das Kaviraj says about these rasas. He says, so all Krishna Das Kaviraj in the Adi Leela, he says that love for Krishna has this one unique effect. So we are talking about relationship with Krishna, yeah? So it has this one unique effect. It imbues superiors, equals, and inferiors with the spirit of service to Lord Krishna. So even generally speaking, in the material world, if you're a superior, the younger gives service to the superiors, and the superiors accept the service. But Krishna Das Kaviraj says that this is a unique effect of love for Krishna. It imbues superiors, equals and inferiors, with the spirit of service of Krishna. So although in Goloka Vrindavan, there's no one superior than Nanda Maharaj, yeah? There's no one who's superior than Nanda Maharaj. So even Nanda Maharaj feels that way. And he gives an example. You know, we know that Uddhava goes and meets Nanda Maharaj. He's bringing a message of Krishna to Nanda Maharaj. And this is what Nanda Maharaj says to Uddhava. He says, "My dear Uddhava, please hear me. In truth, Krishna is my son, but even if you think that he is God, I will still bear toward him my own feelings for my son." He says, May our minds be attached to the lotus feet of your Lord Krishna. May our tongues chant his holy names, and may our bodies lie prostrate before him. So he's talking about him offering dandavats to his son, his little son. That's what love for Krishna does. It imbues that service attitude. And then, for Lord Krishna's friends, although, you know, we know what all the kind of things they do, Krishna's friends, they climb on him or they will help have him do things for them. They have that relationship, the Krishna's friends with each other. But Krishna Das Kaviraj says they worship his lotus feet in a spirit of servitude. So this element of servitude is always there. They massage his feet, they fan him, they do all kinds of things. That's what they want to do. Although it's interesting, they will tease him, they will climb on his shoulders, they will have him do some things for them like that, but there's within them the spirit of servitude is there, and everything they do is with the spirit of servitude. And we also know about his beloved girlfriends. Even the beloved girlfriends of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, the gopis, the dust of whose feet was desired by Sri Uddhava and who are more dear to Krishna than anyone, regard themselves as Lord Krishna's maidservants. And what to speak about everybody, but even Srimati Radharani, she's servant. She sees herself as servant of Krishna. But not only all the gopis, but even Baladev, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He himself, I mean, I was thinking this morning, look at that, Baladev has his hand over Krishna's shoulder. He's resting on him, yeah? So that somebody older would do so. But it's all in the service of Krishna. Everything is, what he does is in the service of Krishna. But it's not that because they have a service attitude towards Krishna, it's not unique. Each one has a unique mood towards Krishna, in the mood of service. Even in the categories, the gopas have a service attitude which is different than what the gopis have. Sanatana Goswami says, every one of the millions and millions of cowherds, the children, young people, and elders, think. Now, listen to this. Remember, they have a service attitude. But this is what they think. I alone am most dear to Krishna. Isn't that interesting? This is what they think. I alone am dear to Krishna. Now, you think that might be contrary to the service mood, but no, this is what they think. And the gopis, this is what they think. Oh, when will I be fortunate enough to become even the lowliest maidservant of Krishna? What a different mood than the gopis have. The ambition of every young gopi in Goloka is to someday gain the good fortune to be allowed to enter Krishna's service, even in the lowest position. Such utter humility distinguishes them from the young gopas, the male cowherds, who tend to consider themselves Krishna's favorites and presumes themselves very fortunate. But you may want to understand how the gopas can think that way and yet feel a service attitude or feel themselves a servant. So it describes that the gopas often feel dissatisfied with themselves for various reasons due to the nature of their exalted love for Krishna. So there's a feeling of dissatisfaction. Although they think that I alone am the favorite, but they still feel dissatisfied, they then become anxious to become better servants of Krishna. So there is a feeling of dissatisfaction, And because they're always thinking themselves as servants, so they try to be better servants. And the gopis' love, however, we know is on the highest level of perfection. They are never satisfied with themselves, for their humility is absolute. Each of them considers herself Krishna's worst maidservant, her only hope being to somehow be permitted to continue serving him despite her disqualifications. In this way, the moods of the gopas and gopis are different. Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Now, this is from Navadvip Mahatmya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Navadvip Mahatmya is a conversation that is there between Nityananda and Jiva Goswami. In the last chapter, Lord Nityananda is telling Jiva Goswami something. He says, "One should think himself lower than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. He should not desire respect for himself, but should expertly offer respect to others. When one possesses these four qualities, and sings the glories of Lord Krishna, his relationship with Sri Chaitanya manifests within his heart." So when we do these four items that we know, Trinada, Pishuni, Chena, and when we sing the glories of Lord Krishna, like we were just chanting Hare Krishna, then what happens? The relationship of Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, manifests within our heart. One who possesses the qualities beginning with humility will first worship Gauranga in dasya, or servitude mood, relationship. Now, this dasya bhav, the servitor relationship with Krishna, that is the highest relationship one can have with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. There is no higher relationship with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So I'm talking about, as you can see, talking about being a servant, this mood of service. And so it describes that when the worship of Gauranga in Dasya Ras reaches full maturity in the heart of the living entity, Madhurya Ras naturally develops in the heart. At that time, one's worship of Gaurahari qualifies him to worship Radha and Krishna. And then what happens? Gauranga then drowns the devotee in the nectar of Radha and Krishna's eternal pastimes, which the devotee enters as he attains Vrindavan. So by chanting the holy name of Krishna and Mahaprabhu, we get mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and by worshipping Gauranga Mahaprabhu in the mood of Dasya, then he drowns us in the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And we see that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see Krishna Das Kaviraj tells us that Advaita Acharya, who is a superior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the godbrother of his spiritual master. What is his mood? Advaita Acharya says, he tells everybody, become a servant of Lord Chaitanya. That's what he says. And everybody, each and every personality in Gauranga Mahaprabhu's pastimes, whether they're scholars, whether they're older in age, you know, Shiva's Thakur, or everybody, they see themselves as servant. Their mood is servitude. There is no Madhurya Ras with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That's why Prabhupada talks about, that's the upper sampradaya. But everybody, whether it's Haridas, Thakur, Gadadhar, everybody thinks themselves as Lord Chaitanya's servant. Now, in all these rasas, it's interesting to note we're talking about anubhav. Anubhav is a action that one takes in one's relationship out of love. In one sense, you can say even anubhav may be in a more at a certain level, you may say that anubhav, maybe Yashoda cooking for for Krishna, because that's out of love, that's what she does. It's an action that she takes. But there is one, just like servitorship is common in all the rasas, there is one anubhav that is common in all the rasas, and that is singing and dancing. Singing and dancing is one thing that is common in all of them. That is a way of one expression of one's love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is to sing and dance. We have heard the thing, we heard that every step is a dance, every word is a song, yeah? Everybody, millions and millions of people who are there in the spiritual worlds, and billions and billions and trillions of people that are in the spiritual world, every word is a song and every step is a dance. Isn't that amazing? And what does Srila Prabhupada say here? It's very interesting. So we think about Srila Prabhupada's purports and we think, oh, he just kind of put it in there, but we know the talk is about Prahlad Maharaj, that he's going to be a great devotee, and we know what Prahlad Maharaj does. He's constantly chanting, yeah? And this was not even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, this was way before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, but Prahlad Maharaj would constantly meditate and reiterate his activities. In other words, he would constantly chant repeatedly. And then what Srila Prabhupada says in the end, such meditation is still more conveniently performed by chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord. This is especially recommended in this age of Kali. And so Srila Prabhupada is saying that this is what it is. This morning, when Nagaraj Prabhu was leading such an ecstatic kirtan, everybody, every single person was singing and dancing. Even Sesha Prabhu with his, he calls it his dancing cane. I mean, he hates to use the cane to walk, but he brings the cane because it allows him to help him to stand, and then he can rock. Yeah? So every single person was dancing, whether they were dancing outside, expressing it, or whether they were dancing with a cane, or whether they were just standing there dancing in their heart, you know? What is that song? Narada Muni's? Keho wa kande, keho wa nache, keho wa mane mane, or something like that? Yes, so somebody is singing and somebody is dancing and somebody is doing that in their minds. So this is what it is, anubhav. This is our process Prabhupada has given us, singing and dancing. And then Prabhupada said, don't think this process will not work. Don't think that process will not work. It's funny, you know, one of their shorts in YouTube's. And strange enough, I like to listen to certain devotees' shorts. They are, you know, have my favorites. But anyway, but this one came all of a sudden. Was Ayendra Prabhu. I never saw there was a short of his. And it was just last night, I was before going to bed, and it was about Narottam Das Thakur. He says, Narottam Das Thakur says, don't think that this process will not work. It does work. And then he says, I'll add one more thing. You have to do it. Then he says, you have to do it. You have to do it. So this process will work, but we have to do it. So yes, this process works. Taking prasadam, it's not mentioned here, but yeah, taking prasadam, or giving prasadam, giving out lollipops to the conditioned souls. But yeah, this is what our process is, and all we have to do is serve, serve the devotees, serve the holy name, serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Kurma Das. Kurma Brahman, remember? What did he say to Kurma Brahman? Kurma Brahman wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya. I mean, he invited Lord Chaitanya to his house. All his family members,
came, they fed him prasadam, they washed his feet, they put all the family members, they put the water on their heads. It wasn't just him. All the family members were there doing it all together. But then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going, he said, oh, please, can I just come with you? Like, not that his family was not a devotee, they were all devotees. But this is the effect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You just don't want to miss out on his association. And then Mahaprabhu said, no, you stay home and you chant Hare Krishna at home. And then he says, Yare dekhe tahe kaho Krishna upadesh. Yeah, whoever you see, you give them Krishna upadesh. You talk about Krishna, and that's what we're meant to do. I was thinking about Hemavati. I was thinking that how she asked about sthayi bhava, and so Hemavati, this is our sthayi bhava. We just become, which you're so perfectly doing, so going out and giving Krishna to everybody, giving and chanting the holy name. This is all we're meant to do. So, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So, any questions, any thoughts on this subject matter? Okay. Come on, somebody has to say some tell us some realization. I'm not going to move here till somebody tells me something. Ragatmika, thank you.
So when you were describing the service or the bhav of the gopas, saying that I'm the best, I'm Krishna's favorite?
Yeah, I alone am Krishna's favorite.
It seems, from my perspective in low position, if I had that attitude, then I'd be envious of others who appear to get Krishna's attention. You know, that's interesting.
But they have no doubt. So it's one of the things that's interesting was Sanatana Goswami says that. That does not make them. That does not make them not do. That inspires them to be more of a servant to Krishna. They're not satiated by that.
Oh,
so they want to do more, and also the fact that they feel that way. I alone am a favorite of Krishna because that is what that is the love that they're getting from Krishna. They're experiencing that love. Just like Mother Mukhya was saying in the Sunday feast, you know, she was saying, Hari Govinda is my favorite, you know. But she said, don't tell anybody because she tells us everybody, you know, because that's her love. She has that love for each one. And so I'm sure Hari Govinda feels that I'm her favorite. Mm-hmm. And others feel, I'm sure, Shamadarshini and Braja thinks, you know, Mother Mukhya really loves us, you know, and everybody feels that, those who, there's a relationship. But that's interesting, the point that is made that no, because this is what they're feeling, this is what they're getting from Krishna, but it doesn't, it's always, they hanker to be a better servant. And like we saw that, you know, they feel dissatisfied with their service and they want to be a better servant, yeah. So yeah, Krishna, they see that Krishna is having nice relationship, but that doesn't make a difference because I know I alone am favorite, so I don't have to worry about, the other person. They can have, but I know I'm his favorite.
And it just increases their feeling of wanting to reciprocate with all Krishna's love for them.
Yeah.
Is that mamata? What's mamata?
Mine, yes. Mamata means, yes, he's mine.
He's mine.
Yeah.
So that would be a similar move there.
Yeah. And so interesting. And then the gopis have totally opposite. Yeah?
Yeah.
So that is the beauty of the spiritual world.
Amazing.
That is the beauty. And then I'm sure each gopa has their own. Of course, they have their own individual relationship with Krishna, you know, which is in the servant mood, but yet unique. Yeah. Yes, Bhadra Prabhu.
Everyone is absorbed in their service to the Lord, just like here. we each one have the particular relationship with particular deities. Mm-hmm. And when you come for darshan, you concentrate on that because you are absorbed in that deities, and you mm-hmm. concentrate on that deity particularly. Mm-hmm. So that's everybody has that, and that is the beauty about mm-hmm. Krishna, that when the gopas were sitting in the circle mm-hmm. after the killing the Agasura, mm-hmm. Krishna is with each one of them, and each one is absorbed with Krishna. Mm-hmm. Each one is saying that Krishna is with me. Mm-hmm.
Krishna is looking at me alone.
Yes, yes. And because they are absorbed, so same way when the animals are jumping, they are not envious of each other in the spiritual world because they each have that relation, particularly. So similarly, we each have relationship, and that's what we're going to absorb in it. Mm. And we will see that other also have relationship. So there is no envy. Mm. Everybody has relationship. You know.
And each of the cowherd boys, or the cowherd girls, but I'm thinking about cowherd boys who think that way, they have a relationship with each other that enhances their relationship with Krishna. Yeah. So they're all together. It's not they are alone with Krishna. All together, they're playing games, they're climbing on Krishna or on each other. So the whole atmosphere makes it very sweet. Just like in a kirtan, you know? In a kirtan, everybody comes together and they help each other to think about and chant out loudly and to dance and sing, you know, so this is helping each other. You know, the more there are devotees in the kirtan, the more you're ecstatic, you know, like that kind of thing, yeah.
That's why Krishna is one of the qualities. He's not alone.
He's not alone, yeah.
He's always with someone.
So Bhadra Prabhu, you who are always absorbed in Rath Yatras and take care of Lord Jagannath, and that's your meditation. Just a personal question, when you come here, since Lord Jagannath, at least in my vision, I don't see Lord Jagannath here, who do you come and see when you come to the temple?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You asked me that personal question, which is...
Okay, I'm not allowed to ask personal questions.
I will let you know personally.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Any other reflections or questions or thoughts? Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, Pran Govinda Prabhu, please.
I was just thinking to avoid or not get involved. Because this purport, I'm going to read it a few times. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. When you think of Ratha Yatra, so in Madhya Lila, Srila Prabhupada explained, also Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explained. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meeting Brajendra Nandan. Pratimana hai tumi shakshat Brajendra Nandan. That's how it's explained that Mahaprabhu is saying. So there's three things going on. One is between Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath. Mm-hmm. One is the devotee of Jagannath, how they see Jagannath. They are not worried about Lord Chaitanya or Gauriyas. Then another group, they are only watching Mahaprabhu. How he relates. They're not even aware what he's doing with Lord Jagannath. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes that Radharani is speaking, I'm the same Radharani. This is meeting in Kurukshetra. And you are the same Krishna. So why there is no Russia? Why there is no happiness? Why there's so much cry? Why Lord Chaitanya is crying? So this purport, I think, is very beautiful, the way Prabhupada put it. And you explained very nicely, I appreciate that, that five things require to individual soul to experience this rasa. One is thayibhava, So Prabhupada put that verse from Rupa Goswami. Sthayi bhava sa prakta Sri Krishna Vishayarati. What's the definition of sthayi bhava? Is this, that in relation to Krishna, I have a permanently, eternally dominant emotion in my heart as a lover to offer the love to Krishna, who will enjoy it as a beloved. That is the definition of sthayi bhava. Then vibhav. So vibhav has a two concepts. One is alamban, one is uddipan. So uddipan, in a short, I'm just trying to put that point. Uddipan is like there has to be some stimulating factor. Mm-hmm. So Radharani is saying, I am here, same Radha, and you are same Brajananandan, but our meeting is not a good harmonizing, nourishing. Why? Annera ridayamar mano man brindavan bane mane eka karimani. This is the Chaitanya Charitamrita verses. So Mahaprabhu is relishing this. So he is saying that Vrindavan is important. Vrindavan is missing here. This is called Uddipan. What stimulates us? Mm-hmm. It is not only Radha and Krishna. It is not just me and Krishna. It is that what stimulates us, mm-hmm, to evoke that emotion. Mm-hmm. I love Krishna. Mm-hmm. Why? Because of this quality he has. They have to poke in our chetan at that time. Then it will evoke feeling, emotion, and you will cry.
Yeah.
So all these five together, anubhav, vibhav, sanchari bhav. You know, one thing I was thinking on 11th chapter Bhagavad Gita, if you look at very thoroughly, is demonstrated by Arjuna. You have presented very nice. I'm not trying to supersede on that. But for my meditation, sometime I think, so Krishna manifested his universal form. Arjuna could not relate because he is his friend. So he has a love, he has a sthayi bhava, permanently, dominantly control the other emotions, and that exhibited in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Certain thing he doesn't have a control, as you said, like sattik bhava. Why? Like for an example, Arjuna was paying obeisances. Did he decide to do that? He's paying obeisances left, right, east, west, everywhere, because the universal form is everywhere. That's how the Bhagavad Gita 11th chapter explained. That was consciously done. That is called anubhav.
Yeah.
But did he try to tremble?
Yeah.
Did he try to shed tears? No. Those things called sattik bhav, they are beyond control. They come from satta, pure goodness. It automatically manifests within us. So intelligence was not involved there.
Yeah.
Then vyabhichari bhav, he prayed, can you come back to your origin? Are this universal form is not Krishna's form? No, to him is not. He wants his origin. Then he came to... Then Lord Krishna manifested forehand form in 11th chapter. But then Arjuna was not still happy. He wanted his two-hand form to manifest. Then he was happy. That is sanchari bhava. All this together, he was relishing complete happiness in Krishna consciousness.
Thank you, Prabhu. I mean, Pran Govinda Prabhu gave a good example. But if we understand all these different components of rasa, then when we're actually studying the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita, then we can see those components in there and actually relish the Bhagavatam more and more. So, yes, understanding, having some idea is good. That also perfects our own devotional life, because ultimately if that our goal is to go back to Godhead, it's important that we understand somewhat the language, and the language here is rasa. We need to keep on hearing, and I think Devyanga Prabhu was saying, and I've heard that before, that Prabhupada said, you read the Nectar of Devotion again and again and again. It's amazing, if we keep on hearing it again and again and again, it purifies our heart, and then we'll be able to understand things in a more deeper level. Even on a mundane way, on a mundane level also, we see that in, I remember I had taken some course on Sanskrit, and actually I went for some Sanskrit seminars, and I went to the teacher and I said that, you know, I'm just having a hard time understanding this. And she said to me, he said, just keep on reading and keep on hearing the same thing and reading, you will understand. And I'm thinking, what is she talking about? I don't understand. But that's the point she was making, that no, you keep on hearing, and it is true. So we keep on hearing, then we'll be able to understand those terms, and we'll be able to apply them like Pran Govinda Prabhu did from the Bhagavad Gita. Okay.
What is your understanding on this opinion of Prabhupada? In a morning walk, he said, without this book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, no one can understand what Krishna consciousness is. What is your takeaway from that?
My takeaway is that what Srila Prabhupada is saying is the Shastra, and so therefore nobody can understand, and that means nobody can understand. That's what I take with that. Yeah. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya.